Welcome to episode 14 of All the Small Takes. We are back at full strength this week. John is back with us after a one-week hiatus. John, how are you doing?
I am. I'm still recovering from my sojourn in the land of hyper-consumerism, but I'm doing pretty well. It was a great trip. Spent a lot of time with the fiance and her family, which was. It's a neat experience, but I'm back in God's country, back and ready to go, back to get some small takes going.
Did you try lots of cool exotic cheeses?
Yeah, no, actually I didn't, because, hey, spoiler alert, I hate cheese. So just everyone keep that in mind the next time Cooper opens his mouth. He's got a penchant for fake news.
John, you just closed the door for so many cheese sponsorships.
Very dishonest. Set the record straight. John does detest cheese. Cooper, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. I think I've taken the panic button out of my box, and it's now like on my desk where it is in sight, thinking about the Cavs and the Celtics matchup that is coming up.
At what point does your hand start to waver towards the panic button?
As soon as the Cavs win the series, it'll be firmly on the button. Knowing that they had to play the Warriors. I will take it everywhere with me.
You suck.
At all times.
Your hand is going to be on that panic button after game two when it's 2-0 Celtics.
Okay.
That's fired.
You can find us on social media. Twitter, @smalltakes. Instagram, @small_takes. Facebook, @allthesmalltakes. Gmail, allthesmalltakes@gmail.com. We've got a loaded show this week. We, of course, want to talk about game 7, Celtics-Wizards from last night. We also want to do a look at both conference finals for the East and West. We're going to debut a new segment this week and run through a couple others. So we're going to jump right in to the Celtics Wizards game 7 from last night. Well, first I would like to actually point out that this is one of the predictions that I personally got right, the Cavs Celtics conference final. We're getting that matchup. But before we get into that, what were you guys' thoughts on the Celtics Wizards game 7?
Going to be totally honest. I went to bed at about halftime.
My God.
And I'm not too upset about it. In reality, I mean, things could have turned out a lot worse. Like, if I'm going to miss a game, the game where Kelly Olynyk's man bun catches on fire, that's the game that I want to miss. So I'm not too upset about it.
Counterpoint, I would love watching the game where Kelly Olynyk's man bun catches on fire. Unfortunately, Cooper, spoiler alert, that didn't happen last night.
That's how everyone made it seem this morning.
Yeah. I had a bit of a surreal experience watching the game because, for whatever reason, TNT in my area was broadcasting on a 30-second audio delay. So the video was all up to pace, but it was bizarre. It was very odd. A very strange experience.
Has high-definition TNT not made its way to God's country?
No. High definition's down here.
More or less odd than going to, Madison Square Garden and observing a basketball game in person without any sound. Mm. More or less odd.
It's a very topical reference, Cooper. Two and a half months ago.
Sorry. Still thinking.
All right. But in all honesty, did you guys think that the Wizards, Wizards certainly had their chance to win that game. They were up into the third quarter, and then the Celtics went on a little run to round it out. Was it the Celtics pulling away, or was it the Wizards giving it away? What did you guys think?
I think, like in most sports scenarios, it was probably a combination of both. You know, the Celtics played amazing down the stretch, and Kelly Olynyk in particular, I don't think he missed in the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, which is not something that Kelly Olynyk does on a regular basis, not something anyone, normally does. But they were clutch. They took the lead in a commanding way with a 13-3 run, and then they never gave it up. And Washington just didn't have the moxie to get back in the fight. I feel like that was the story of the evening. Just two good teams, and then the Celtics closed it out down the stretch, and the Wizards didn't.
Yeah, I think it was because the Wizards did not wear black to the game.
It didn't work out so well for the Celtics in game 6.
No, it did not. But it's like the Wizards thing, and they didn't do it. And they kind of like jinxed themselves. And I don't know. I think that was the reason.
Nothing about the fact that the Wizards refused to isolate Isaiah Thomas and on defense, I should say, and exploit that matchup. It was solely the black outfits.
Yeah, quickly, I just want to point out, are we audibling right now? Because John's like disappeared from the... John?
Sorry, I'm back. I'm back. That was Caitlin. All right. I had to text her back.
I thought we were audibling there for a second. Anytime the Celtics have to rely on Kelly Olynyk to win them a game, I don't think that's anything the Wizards did unto themselves. So I guess maybe I'm a little upset that John Wall disappeared, who had the best playoffs of his career and kind of asserted himself as maybe a top 5-point guard in the league. You know, he didn't really show up for game 7. So I guess that's a little disappointing. But other than that, I mean, anytime that Kelly Olynyk or a Kelly Olynyk-like player wins you a game in the series, I just feel like that there's just something where you just got to like kind of like, you know, tip your cap and kind of move on.
Again, yeah, the disrespect for Kelly Olynyk, Kelly the Clinic.
I mean, I made it pretty clear last week how I feel about Kelly.
Yeah, and so did I. And again, the small takes curse might be turning itself around because I was
Jeff
high on Kelly.
As a Celtics fan, I would love to hear you just put, you know, all of your money down on Kelly Olynyk right now. I mean, is Kelly Olynyk really going to perform for you in this?
Is Kelly Olynyk an elite?
Are you really an elite quarterback? Is he an elite quarterback? No.
I'm sorry, John. We cut you off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even remember what I was going to say now. That was an interesting conversation to listen to.
Yeah, we derailed you with the elite talk. Yeah, no, I agree. I'm actually with you, Cooper, on the fact that if Kelly Olynyk beats you, you really kind of just have to tip your cap, and it sucks for the Wizards. I guess that's a game 7, but what they were doing is they were not going to let Isaiah beat them. They were doubling Isaiah and forcing him to pass out of it, and then you put yourself in an odd man situation, and you have to count on someone like Olynyk or Marcus Smart not making shots, and both those guys made pretty big shots down the stretch. So, guys, it sucks for the Wizards, like I said, but as a Celtics fan, I was thrilled.
Of course you were. Happens at least like every 2 months for you.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be so terrible, you know, these moments of trial where you have to wait for a tall white man and a scraggly gross beard and a bizarro hairstyle to step in and save you.
It feels me. Go Sixers. We got which draft slot? Breaking news. The draft lottery.
Breaking news.
One day later.
76ers got the 3 pick.
Yeah, if you don't touch the internet between now, the time we're recording this, and like the same time tomorrow for 24 hours, this is breaking news.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this upcoming series then between the Celtics and the Cavs. Matchup of the 1 and 2 teams in the East, obviously. Cooper's Cavs, my Celtics. John is the impartial voice in the room here, as the unbiased source of reason, one might say. What is your opinion on this series? Maybe how many games it'll go and which way you see it going?
Right. Well, for starters, the Olynyk option is not sustainable for the Celtics. they're gonna need to come up with a very different game plan against the Cavs than the one they implemented against the Warriors. The Wizards, my bad. W teams.
The Freudian slip. It's going to be Celtics Wizards in the finals. I get what you were doing.
Oh, that was definitely it. The Olynyk is not going to go off against the Cavaliers. And LeBron James is going to be playing basketball in the same arena as the Celtics. And that's a big problem. Big problem for their finals ambitions. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think anyone really wants me to go into a ton of analysis. I think they're waiting for the part where Cooper and you start talking about it. And I'm just going to say, have a chance. I think they're really think at this point they're dead men walking because they're the next team on LeBron's list. I think based on how the playoffs have gone so far, and since it's always okay to just project the past into the future, decide things based on that, the Cavaliers are probably going to sweep the Celtics. I think it's going to be sort of like the Indiana series. The games are going to be close. They're going to look like the Celtics could fight out and win each one, but the difference is LeBron James is playing for the other team.
The sweep. Okay. Cooper, from your side of the aisle, how does the series look?
I think I'm going to take the Cavs in 6. I see the Celtics winning game 1. I mean, we've talked about the rust element factor. It gets thrown around a lot in playoff talk. We kind of saw it with the Warriors against the Spurs. So I think that's kind of enough for the Celtics win game one. And I'll give them one other game, probably game five, before the Cavs close it out at home in game six. I think all the most of the matchups work in the Cavs' favor. Really can't think of a single matchup in the starting lineup. I mean, Isaiah Thomas on Kyrie, but I think what'll happen is they'll switch JR to Isaiah Thomas. Yeah. And so I think, I mean, the matchups work in the Cavs' favor, every single position on the court. They're playing at a much higher click on defense, and offensively they're a better team, so Cavs in six.
Yeah, the Isaiah matchup is frightening, because even if you hide him, and I'm using air quotes here, on JR is a scary offensive player that can, and he's much bigger than Isaiah, as most players are. So that's not a matchup I feel entirely really remotely comfortable with.
Well, but I was even talking about the opposite side of the court, who is going to face Isaiah on defense for the Cavs, and I still think it'll be JR, who has done a great job shutting down, you know, Paul George and DeRozan in the past two series.
Yeah, Isaiah physically doesn't quite match up with Paul George or DeRozan, just from a pure physical standpoint.
No.
So as much as I love Isaiah, that's not something that makes me feel super confident either. There's a couple scenarios, I think, though, where the Celtics – so I do agree. I think Cavs probably in six, although the homer in me wants to say if the Celtics can find a way to win that game, like if it goes to a game seven in Boston, I would feel extremely good about the Celtics. Extremely good might be generous. I would put it at a toss-up at that point. But I think there's at least a couple of games where either the Celtics just make 50% of their three-point shots, which they shoot a lot of threes, or there's a game where they slow the pace down so much and they kind of turn into this grinded-out game, much like what the Cavs did to the Warriors last year in the finals and find a way to win. And then if they can, pull one out of their hat in Cleveland, who knows? But it comes back to the fact that LeBron James is on the Cavs, which and rested LeBron James at that too. So I don't really know how you can not pick the Cavs in this series.
Yeah, I mean, if we get the LeBron James from the Toronto Raptors series where he was shooting all of his shots within like 3 feet of the bucket, and they're really isn't anyone on the Celtics to challenge him at the rim. Definitely not at the rate that the Raptors have, like Ibaka and Valanciunas. LeBron's going to dominate the paint. And so as long as the Cavs can shoot, or at least like one of their 10 guys who can shoot in that series, I think it's a pretty good series for the Cavs.
Do we want to talk about the Western Conference too?
Sure, a little bit. I mean, is Zaza a criminal?
Did Zaza commit manslaughter?
Is he going to jail?
He's part of Steve Kerr's Napoleonic reign of crime.
Wow,
John, we missed having you on the podcast, man. We needed that last week.
Well, I mean, I just real quick, we managed to make it all the way through that Eastern Conference Finals talk without mentioning the Godfather, which is the when I typed in Al Horford nickname into Google, what came up. So yeah, I mean, he's a pretty dynamic center. You think he's gonna have an effect on the games?
No,
is his name really the Godfather?
That's what it comes up. It says Isaiah Thomas's nickname is Big Head.
What website are you on?
Google. it's straight Google.
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't LeBron during these like playoff days when he goes dark, doesn't he just watch those movies on repeat? So maybe he's like got it figured out.
The most infuriating thing about LeBron James, just a sidebar, is he does this zero dark 30-23 thing. And then has all his teammates take videos of him in the gym and in the locker room. So it's just like the most fake, convoluted.
So I still think they could have come up with a better name for it. Like I've always thought, like, why not integrate the 23 into the zero dark 30 where there are there are three other numbers in that. Like, I don't know.
Does LeBron James know that zero dark 30 is actually military time? And it's not actually like a description of like a code name for blackout. I don't think he does.
Well, I think he's trying to, you know, take the term and make it his own. And at this point, I think Zero Dark 30 is probably most people would understand it as the time that is associated with LeBron's darkness on social media.
Two alternative nicknames for Al Horford, since I know we're still talking about this, is
unfortunately
the Dominican Stallion.
Yeah, I see Horf. That.
And Horf.
So, ooh, I like Horf.
Horf sounds like the character from Lord of the Rings.
All right, I am now referring to him as Horf.
The character from The Lord of the Rings. Jeff, could you enlighten us?
Just a theoretical character. Nick, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. It sounds like somebody from...
Sounds like Hodor?
It could be a character name. I've not seen...
Hey, we're stretching out Jeff's... Outside of Jeff's comfort zone.
Yeah. I haven't seen Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones.
You have not seen... What? You haven't seen Lord of the Rings?
No.
Wow, this should be a topic of a future podcast.
We can just pivot right now if you want.
we can just pivot right now
to be a Lord of the Rings fan podcast.
Ooh, let's do that.
Is there a market out there for that?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. No, we could make one.
There's probably more market out there for that than there is of what we do right now.
That's very true. We could generate a market, you know? Folks don't know what they want until they see it in front of them, so.
This got a little bit derailed. Zaza, what's your point, Cooper?
Who could probably also be a Lord of the Rings character.
Yeah, that's true.
Zaza Gabor?
Yeah. Anyways, don't know who we're talking about anymore. I think this guy is... We're talking about this center who plays for the Warriors, who's incredibly clumsy and does not know how to move his feet. I don't know. I guess people are questioning whether or not this was a dirty play. It seems to be the question of the day, or the question of yesterday, depending on, you know, when you're listening to our podcast. I don't think it was on purpose. I mean, I think it was a dirty play, but I think there's a difference between intent and whether or not it was dirty. I mean, you look at it and it probably isn't the smart play. Like, I feel like as an athlete, as a professional athlete, you should be more kind of physically aware of, you know, your body on the court. And he clearly gets under Kawhi's, you know, landing spot, twists his ankle. So I think it was kind of a dirty play. Don't know if it was done on purpose, though.
Is it Kelly Olynyk dirty?
No,
so
we can hold on.
Get a little perspective.
Hold on. Kelly Olynyk is too soft to be dirty. All right? We can go back to the Kelly Oubre situation. And if you're going to let Kelly Oubre, I really hope for Kelly Olynyk's sake he dove. I really hope.
If we want to talk about guys who dive, Bradley Beal is like the gold medalist for taking flops.
I'm not saying he's not. But anyways, Kelly Olynyk is not dirty.
John, what were your thoughts on the Zaza play?
Yeah, no, I think it's clearly a dirty play, like Cooper said, and I am willing to believe that he did it on purpose.
Oh,
I just don't think he's that gifted enough.
Yeah, like, also
I am not of the opinion that Greg Popovich is an alarmist or a guy who spends his time wasting time by talking about things that are dumb to him or silly or irrelevant or like even maybe conspiracy theories like some coaches we know.
Yeah, he's not a flat earth truther.
Yeah, not a flat earth truther or 9/11 truther if you wanted to talk about that. And if from his spot on the court, and after talking to his guys, he thought it was intentional. I'm willing to go ahead and believe that. I'm a pop guy, and I am not a Golden State Warriors fan, really. Alternatively, you go and look at this guy's Wikipedia page. He was born in the Soviet Union. This could be like a sleeper cell situation here. You guys are talking about, you know, you didn't think he was. He was maybe a good enough player to coordinate everything, but this could be a long-standing plan to derail one of America's teams and one of America's greatest assets in Greg Popovich. You know, get under his skin. He's been a voice for reason in the NBA for years, and maybe they're trying to destroy that bastion.
Who's the conspiracy theorist now, John?
Was anything that John just said politically correct?
Ooh. You should probably delete that whole segment.
No, I think it's fine. Yeah. Think
no, let's fine. Just no. We should keep it. We should keep it. Anyways,
it's just fine.
I mean, I do think we need to clarify what Pop actually compared this, you know, situation to. Yeah. So, does anyone have the quote? I don't have the quote.
Basically, short story. He compared it to manslaughter, like because he was basically saying he didn't know if there was intent there, but it was still reckless.
That's fair. That's reasonable. I mean, this probably did like mark the end of his team. I guess we could view it that way. And I don't think they're going to win a single game now. And Kawhi's doubtful for game two. So let's, even if he comes back for games three and four, I still don't see it happening. The Warriors do good. That was their, I think, the chance to seal a game and kind of maybe make this a series. And no, but I think probably the like most hypocritical part of this whole like fiasco, and maybe like Pop didn't realize it because he wasn't in San Antonio and he was, you know, in the Oracle. But there's a banner hanging from their arena of Bruce Bowen, who's possibly like the dirtiest, like one of the dirtiest players of all time, is known, was honored for like getting under other like opponents' skins. I don't think it's right. I don't like for Pop to really call him out. And yeah, maybe you can say a little something, but Pop completely ridiculed him in the press. I didn't really think that was justified.
All right, well, we will move on. Does anyone else have any thoughts on the Western? We didn't actually talk about the Western Conference Finals. I think we can agree the Warriors, it's the Warriors at this point, right?
Sure.
Yeah, thanks to their cheating ways. I mean, they're really starting to become the New England Patriots of the NBA at this point.
I'm just rooting for some Draymond Green groin kicks.
Maybe get him a suspension that you could bank towards the finals.
Exactly, like a game 6 of the finals, something like that.
He's due.
He is due.
He is due. This is true.
But we don't know if that will be the matchup. So we'll have to see how the Celtics-Cavs series shakes out, and we'll be back on this topic, I'm sure. But let's move on to a segment. This is a new segment that we want to roll out this week. All the small takes goes to Vegas. We're not actually going to Vegas. Let's clarify that.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. But they released the NFL win total over-unders this past week, right? It was this past week?
I think it was actually like 3 weeks ago, but we're just going to roll with it this week.
Yeah, this past week they released it.
So, exactly.
Depending on when you listen to the podcast, you know?
Exactly. We have some interest. We pulled out a few from the NFL over-unders that we thought were interesting or that we could take a couple different sides on. So just want to kind of walk down this line here.
Sure, why not?
This is one that you called out specifically, Cooper. The Cowboys over-under is 9.5 wins. And they won how many games last year? 12?
I don't know. Too many?
Yeah, way too many.
We do our research on this show. Yeah, Cooper, your thoughts on that? I know what direction you're going to lean, but
yeah, I think this is the one that stands out to me is maybe actually if I were a betting man, which I'm not, but if you're listening to this show looking for, insight into how to make money, I would take the Cowboys having more than 9.5 wins, which would be 10 wins for all you math people out there. So
sabermetrics.
Yeah. Nate Silver?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're listening.
Uh-huh. I think the Cowboys get more than 10 wins. I know that they've had, they have an offensive line shakeup. I still think that offensive line is one of the best in the NFL. I think their defense gets better with Jalen Smith. And as long as that offense relies on Zeke, who at parts of last season they would take off the field because he was a rookie and they wanted to kind of watch his reps. So I think as long as they rely on Zeke and be a run-first offense, I think that team will be successful and probably find a way to win more than 10 games.
I just checked. They won 13 games last year, so that's a pretty steep drop-off for a team that's bringing back its star quarterback and star running back. John, what are your thoughts?
I think, unfortunately, given my division rivalry with the Cowboys, if I'm a betting man and I'm looking to make money off this, I would certainly take the over. The Eagles managed to kind of stumble their way to 7 wins last year, and that was with a lot of pieces that didn't belong where they were and a lot of improvement needed at different areas. And I think the Cowboys are a team that's built to win right now. I mean, I haven't looked at their schedule. I haven't walked through every game, and I don't know if they play the Packers at home or if they get, 3 games in a row in Foxborough against the Patriots, which could certainly impact their odds.
That's always the toughest part of the schedule.
Yeah.
it's the hard part of the schedule, I mean, 9.5 wins, I feel like that's easy to do. I feel like Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, Jalen Smith, Nick Martin, and Dez Bryant are worth 10 wins, like those players on their own. You put them on any team, and I think that you could generate – if you put all of them on a single team together, I think you could generate – as much as it pains me to say it, I would certainly take the over.
Yeah, I agree. And I should also – I think we should probably clarify, since you both mentioned it, if you do try to make money off of these predictions, we'll put a big fat disclaimer on that we are not experts in any regard at anything, especially not NFL over-unders. Is that fair to say?
I would just listen to our previous podcast before making any bets based off our current podcast. Yeah.
You have all the information you need to make an informed decision.
Yeah, I'd remind you that our podcast motto is who needs experts when you have fans. So I'm not even sure it's a grain of salt in this situation. I think it's if there's anything less, I'd probably take these.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys over too. Yeah, that seems really low. Let's move on because we want to get to a couple others. Let's do John, your Eagles.
Yeah, my Eagles.
They're sitting at a nice round number. 8 is their over-under on wins. Mm-hmm. This one's tricky, which I guess is kind of the point, right? Vegas sets these so they get action on both sides, and that's one that you said they won 9 games last year?
Yeah, we won 7 last year.
We won 7 last year. So, yeah, that's pretty close to their last year win total. What do you think about that over-under?
So, right. I think, I mean, the player with the most impact on the Eagles right now is our quarterback, our young quarterback, Carson Wentz, who towards the end of the season regressed a little bit back to the mean. He started off great, and for a while, he and Dak Prescott were going back, trading back and forth, like the completions without an interception for a rookie record. And eventually Dak grabbed it. But I like the Eagles for more. And maybe it's because of my well-documented, you know, homerism streak, but I think in reality, the Eagles were not a great football team last year. We had a lot of problems on our defense, and we had a lot of problems with our offensive line, and including a multiple game suspension for our best offensive lineman. Those problems aren't there this year. We have better players on defense. We have better players on offense. And I think Carson Wentz is going to get better in Doug Peterson's system, because I do think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a sort of a flash in the pan or like a one-year starter. So, I mean, they have to play the Cowboys twice a year, which is going to be difficult for them. But one of those games is at home at Lincoln Financial Field, which is a great place to play football. And I'd be more than willing to take them in that game. And I think they could easily get to 9 wins. So again, I don't bet money. I have little enough as it is. So I wouldn't put money on the Eagles winning more than 8 games. But if you were forcing me to, I certainly would.
Maybe this is a way for you to make some more money. Hey.
Yeah, it is. It is.
A reliable investment opportunity.
No, Cooper. It's not.
Cooper, what do you think about that Eagles line?
Is Sal Palantonio still the sideline? Is he still going to be the sideline reporter for the Eagles?
Did he get fired?
Sure. I think he doesn't he like that's he's permanently stationed outside of Lincoln Financial Field.
At least that's what it seems like. It seems like he kind of like lives inside there, like has a tent.
And he only goes outside when it's like snowing or raining. That's like the only time you ever see him broadcasting is in like horrific weather.
Yeah. Well, if he's still broadcasting for them, I'm going to go over.
Did you know he won the United Nations Meritorious Service Medal?
Was that what Wikipedia just told you?
Yeah, it did. He was a lieutenant in the Navy for 5 years.
That's impressive.
Yep, yeah, glad I took the
over. I'll take the under. I think that division's really tough. I think the division's really tough. Not just the Cowboys, but the Giants too. And even the Redskins are dangerous team, can be a dangerous team, especially offensively. And I just think that division could easily, like as I think about that Cowboys line a little more, like those teams could all cluster around like 7 to 10 wins, which kind of seems to happen most years anyway. But a couple of like those interdivision games going one way or another could put the Cowboys at 10. It could put the Giants at 11. Like I think it's very easy for that to fluctuate around. So what other ones we want to touch on here? Let's do the 49ers.
At 4.5?
Yeah.
They're not getting the 4.5 wins. So, that's crazy. So.
They're not winning 4 games.
Under 4.5. Yeah. Under.
That does seem really high.
Actually, I haven't looked quarterback at the schedule yet. If they're playing the Browns or the Bears, this could be a toss-up.
Here, let's
in the season.
I don't even. It's not worth looking at their schedule. Yeah, that seems really high.
No.
Yeah.
It seems absurdly high because you'd have to bet. You'd have to go 5 wins if you want the over.
Yes, that is correct, John. Good math.
I don't do. Well, I'm not sure if the ties count because
we had to call Nate Silver for that one. That's what he told us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell you who their quarterback is. I also cannot name a wide receiver on that team. I know their running back. Oh yeah, Jerry Rice. That's right. Yeah. I know their running back only because he went to Ohio State. I know pretty much nothing about the 49ers, which shows you that they should not get to 5 wins.
Yeah, are there 5 teams worse than the 49ers?
On their schedule?
Well, I mean, in the NFL, period.
Yeah, I don't think so. I can't name one.
I can't.
The Jets.
What, the Browns?
No, I think the Browns are probably going to outperform.
Yeah, I would say I'd say maybe the Bears and the Rams. And then after
the Rams are on their schedule twice, so there is
they are on their schedule
that
twice.
That could be two wins.
Could be two wins.
Could be two losses.
Yeah, could be 0-2 all. do we want to touch this Patriots line?
Yes, because that's by far the most interesting.
Yeah,
I feel like at that point, Las Vegas was just like, the Patriots are so good. We really want to give them 16. I mean, that's really what Vegas is saying. Like, they are daring you to say that the Patriots are going to go 16-0. Their line is 12.5.
Yeah, so they're not. They're daring you to say they'll go 13-3 or better.
That's pretty much what they're saying.
Yeah, but no one projects their team to win 13 games and then lose 3. I mean, if you think they're good enough to win 13 games, you think they're good enough to win every game.
It's either like, yeah, they're either going to go undefeated or they're going to go undefeated and take the last game off. So they'll lose one.
Okay, see the thing, so I don't even understand the logic you're going with, but the thing about the Patriots and the division they play in is like, if you had made me bet on how many like I would bet that they'd sweep their division games. They always like that division is still one of the softest in football. Like, there's go ahead, John.
I was gonna say it's been garbage for like over a decade.
So it's like the polar opposite.
Somehow he makes his team good and his opponents worse.
Yeah, it's the polar opposite of the NFC East. So I think I'll take the over. Like, at this point, I would be foolish to not put my money with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and I think anybody would.
It certainly seems that way.
Well, I don't know.
It could be another suspension coming down the pipeline, though, for Tom Brady. You never know. Deflategate is never completely over.
He also this week came out and said he's not the GOAT. So if we're going to take his word for it, he's not the GOAT.
Well, if you just look at all the ways they got better in the offseason. Like, they went out and they got a running back. They went out and signed a wide receiver from the Saints, whose name escapes me. Cooks.
There we go.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. So I give me the over. All right. We want to get to this last line, which is, Cooper, you were wrong. The most interesting line is by far this last one. And John, I want to let you explain this because you were the one that found this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, for starters, to be perfectly honest, I wanted to do the Pope lines. I wanted to do lines on the next cardinal to become Pope. They've given odds on like 50 different people on this website. However, what we decided to go with instead was, when will alien life be proven? So we've got four options here, boys. You got 2017 for at a 22-1 odds. 2018 for 22-1 odds. You get 2019 for 18-1 odds. And then 2020 plus for 1-18 odds.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
That 2020
pretty huge reversal. There's nothing to be gained in betting for 2020 plus.
Oh.
Nothing.
All right, let's do it. All right, Cooper.
I'm going to have to go 2020 plus, right? Like, so I would look at this line and first of all, just probably run away and not make the bet. And not just because I'm scared of aliens. But yeah, that's the only one that makes sense to me. First of all, it's bogus that 2017 and 2018 are the same line.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, it's a bad investment. I'm getting 5.5% back on my money, which I could go and make that elsewhere. I could, invest in the neighborhood boy who sells lemonade on the corner of my street and probably make more money than that. But that, I think, seems to make the most sense.
All right, John.
20 plus.
Yeah, so I think if we were betting, I would be betting to make money, and I think the money to be had is in 2018. It's, I can get a 22-fold return on my investment if indeed we do stumble into aliens. Now, I think we've cut the funding for NASA, so maybe this is a really dumb pick. I'm not even sure if NASA still exists at this point.
We're banking on them contacting us at this point.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe some unsuspecting alien bumps into the Earth in the middle of the 2018 midterm elections. But if I'm putting money on that on this, I'm putting money on it to win, and I think 2018 is probably looks like the best bet here.
I would agree with you. I think 2018, you get the same odds as you do this year. You get a little more, you get a longer time horizon. And 22-1. Well, I guess that's good value. I don't know. Is there an option that I can bet on that we've already been contacted and that we just don't know it yet?
the Pete Carroll option.
Yeah. what happens if there was, you know, if it is in reality like a 2016 prior?
Yeah. What if what if it comes out?
Can I get my money back?
Can I bet on LeBron James being an alien?
Ooh, you know, he's never been injured.
He's never been injured. Almost inhuman.
He's almost gonna get hurt now.
All right. Ooh, yeah, let's talk that up.
All right. Let's do dope or not. This was something we rolled out, John, when you were away last week.
In honor of
In your honor, yes.
Thanks, guys.
So we have four different dope or nots. Let's do this kind of quickly. Just whip around the circle here. Dope or not. So this came out tonight during the draft lottery. The 76ers raised a Sam Hinkie banner. Is that correct?
Well, so not the 76ers fans did. The team itself did not, but at a local Philadelphia eatery, they raised a banner with Hinkie's face on it in honor of his amazing tenure as GM and all the picks he stockpiled for the Sixers.
Okay, so dope or not dope, John?
Oh, so dope, so dope. So Sam Hinkie gave us the phrase "trust the process" as well as Joel Embiid, and those two things alone have dominated the NBA in the past year.
Yeah, not dope. I think John has believed more in the 76ers organization than Sam Hinkie ever did, and probably deserves the banner more. So not dope.
Not dope. You don't raise banners for not winning championships. Sorry.
Oh gosh.
You stupid Boston fan.
I had to. It was like on a tee for me.
Nobody likes you.
Wow. It's good to have you back, John. Dope or not, 3-on-3 basketball league. This is Allen Iverson's league, right, that he's forming with some former NBA players?
That's Ice Cube's league.
Oh, Ice Cube.
Allen Iverson is playing in.
Okay, yeah. So it's a 3-on-3 basketball league with some former NBA stars. All right, dope or not dope. Cooper this time.
So dope, especially if you get extra points for doing crazy tricks like, you know, flinging the basketball off each other's heads. And then, like, if there's a game breaker that comes in, so dope. So dope.
John?
I would say really dope, but only if there's no referees. I don't want any fouls to be called.
Yeah, no fouls. Call
your own foul. Call your own fouls. Basketball. Yeah.
Kelly Olynyk would be the only person to call his own fouls.
LeBron would call his own fouls. What are you talking about?
You kidding me? LeBron would just run people over.
LeBron would call
Hold on. A league with no fouls benefits LeBron more than anyone else.
James Harden could never play in this league.
James Harden would adjust. He would adjust.
Yeah. Oh, he would adjust. He would adjust, but his game would not translate well this year.
I'm going to say not dope on this. It seems cool, but you know what we really need to bring back? Slam ball. We need to focus our efforts on bringing slam ball back and not 3-on-3 basketball. You guys remember slam ball?
No.
On trampolines? It was on Spike TV at like 2 in the afternoon in the summers.
So this is daytime TV?
Yeah, it's daytime TV. Hey, we got there.
Yeah,
slam ball? Nobody?
It was played in China, the United States, Australia, Portugal, and India.
Yeah, it was a staple of the daytime TV lineup.
You guys owe me an adult beverage for making that reference into the podcast.
All right.
Jeff, for a bonus point, can you name any of the three positions that slam ball players play?
Well, there was the guy whose only job was to stand on the trampoline right in front of the opponent's hoop and try to block people.
Yeah.
And it just would body dudes. It was awesome. I don't know what his name was.
His name was The Stopper.
Jeff, there is... I just get this image of you playing slam ball. I would love to watch you play slam ball.
Oh, dude. I would be the one getting bodied. I would shoot floaters. I would be the one shooting floaters and slam ball. Oh, my God. I hadn't thought about slam ball forever.
The most annoying move if you're ever playing someone in one-on-one basketball. Who shoots floaters?
The guys who are under 5'7".
Kelly Olynyk shoots floaters.
I can't wait for the slam ball 30 for 30. Last one. Let's do Cardale Jones's graduation cap, which he graduated from OSU this past weekend. What does his grad cap say, Cooper?
I honestly don't know.
I think it said like someone once said or someone said, "I ain't come to play school." It was an allusion to his now famous tweet about "I ain't come here to play school." Dope or not dope Cooper?
Start yeah, with you. not dope.
What?
Just because, I mean, what football players go to, you know, college to play school? Doesn't make any sense. No, of course this is dope. I think that's the obvious answer. Yeah. Don't even know who put this here. It's probably me.
It's 100% you. John, you there?
Yeah, yeah. So I've been discerning here. And it's not dope. You quote yourself. I mean, there's no dopeness in quoting yourself. Unless you're Allen Iverson. And you can probably quote yourself and you'll probably be fine. But yeah, no dopeness here. Especially since he didn't even spell out the word one. He just put one on there.
He's got a limited amount of real estate to work with on the grad.
He clearly didn't go to college. He didn't go to any of his classes.
That's an Ohio State education.
Ooh.
That's a big fan base to be calling out.
I know. In the city I currently live in.
Yeah, rather close to home, I gotta say.
Yeah, we'll cut that. I think it's good for Cardale Jones. Always good when you can kind of poke fun at yourself, and congrats on graduating. Let's do the last segment, the waste of data. Wrap this up.
Sure.
Cool. Let's do John. Welcome back. What's your waste of data?
Yeah, so my waste of data is in the ongoing fight against the patriarchy. It's another salvo in it. So many sports commentators are talking about whether or not Serena Williams is going to retire after she gives birth, which is ridiculous because beforehand, no one thought she was. Serena Williams was a dominant tennis player who the only real question was, is she going to be the first woman in the 21st century to achieve the calendar slam, which is the most dominant thing you can do in men's or women's tennis. And she would be the first first person, regardless of gender, to do it if she was able to pull it off in the 21st century. And I think the idea that the mere fact of having a child impacts her elite level of play so much that she needs to consider retiring is bizarre, especially since Serena Williams is the greatest women's tennis player of all time. And if had Roger Federer not played the game of tennis, would be the greatest tennis player of all time.
All right. Cooper, you're a waste of data.
Yeah, so I was going to quote Dion Waiters from his appearance on First Take today or yesterday, but not going to. Instead, going to stick to Notre Dame's tax returns, which in my constant ongoing struggle to consistently twist what waste of data actually can mean and fit things into this segment that don't deserve to be in this segment. I mean, this is actually like a huge waste of money. Notre Dame paid Charlie Weiss $19 million to not coach, which is a very fat sum of money. And I think this past year got a little over $2 million, whereas Brian Kelly made like $1.5 million. So, yeah, I think any time that you are paying a coach who is not there more than the coach that is currently there, you are doing something wrong, let alone the fact that they paid Ryan Van Gorder over $1 million, and I don't know where that guy ever proved that he deserved that much money.
I think that's the bigger waste of data, the fact that you're paying Brian Van Gorder over $1 million to coach football. That was ridiculous. I think Charlie Weiss making $2.5 million not the coach, maybe not the worst idea in the world, but gosh, Brian Van Gorder.
Interesting.
He played like he had that like super good performance against Michigan, and people like thought he was, and like that colored people's perception for 2 years.
Well, and Texas. I mean, we shut out that strong Texas team that was so good.
Well, yeah. He had Jalen Smith playing for him, and then Jalen Smith decided to go to the NFL, and then all of a sudden, Brian Van Gorder's wonderful schemes fell apart.
Well, he really needed the money to groom his mustache.
And for the creatine.
Wasn't
that guy was ripped.
yeah, that's the thing. He looked like a football coach. That was the thing he had. He looked like a guy who coached defense. And that fooled people for a while.
Did not make him good at his job, though.
No, but it tricked people into thinking he was.
Well, George is paying him money now to do the same thing. So hopefully when we play him this year, we'll reap the benefits.
Mm. Probably get shut out.
Probably.
All right. My waste of data to wrap it up is from Skip Bayless, who we haven't heard from on the waste of data in a while, which is a shame. Skip tweeted earlier today that no surprise, LeBron is a huge fave over the Celts. Remember, the Bulls won games 1 and 2 at Boston. So will Cavs. Cavs in 3. And I get what he was trying to do. Like, I get the joke, kind of.
I think he needs to listen to our show more for education on math.
Skip's forte on Twitter is not really humor, or really anything on Twitter for that matter. And this one just kind of was a flop joke. And Skip, welcome back to the Waste of Data, where you belong. And that's our show for the week. Thank you guys for tuning in for another week. If you liked what you heard, or if you have any suggestions, comments, questions, you can find us on social media or hit us up at that email address we listed at the beginning. Subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. So let us know what you think of the show. We appreciate you listening. Be back next week. Same time, same place.